Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki airs every Sunday night on BBS Radio. Go to her website at www.livingyoursoulsjourney.com and fill out the Freedom to Be Me journal to get your free 20-minute session with Dr. Vicki. She offers various counseling sessions as well as the life-changing soul rejuvenation to guide you to live authentically on your soul's journey. If you lose it when you meet a guy and simply want to learn to be independent, free and happy in or out of a relationship, then listen each Sunday night to Living Your Soul's Journey with Dr. Vicki and join her on Living Your Soul's Journey on Facebook.
Welcome this beautiful Sunday evening to Living Your Soul's Journey. I'm Dr. Vicki, and I'm pleased to be here tonight, even though, as I was telling Doug, I am literally sitting on the top level of my in the North Georgia mountains with the rain pouring down and the wind blowing so hard that I literally had to close all the windows just so that I could hear everyone. So I just want to share that with you. I'm also sitting in my bed with a heating pad on my back because last night, it was about 6:30, 7 o'clock in the morning. But when you're tired, that's kind of still nighttime. And the dogs always like to go outside about that time. And normally, you know, on the weekday, I'm up, you know, working and getting ready for the day. But yesterday, Saturday, Sunday. I really just wanted to rest, you know, maybe sleep in till 8 or 9. And so I was walking down the steps, and for some reason there was something wet on them. I don't know what. And I didn't have my hands. I was just racing down the steps like I always do, typically race down. But for some reason I was a little groggy, and I didn't put my hands on the rail. And I just skipped down 2 or 3 steps, and it was just, whoa, you know. So I'm sitting here with the heating pad until I can get to the Cairo tomorrow. And but I had so much to share with you that I wasn't going to say no to not doing the show tonight, because I've had a profound couple of weeks. As you know, if you've been listening to my show, we have been playing reruns for the last 2 weeks only because I've been on vacation, and I had some other life-changing events that occurred that have really been, I want to use the word transforming. And that word is something special, I guess, to everyone. And, you know, I could sit here with the dictionary, which I tend to do when I don't understand a word totally. But I really just want to share with you, as any radio host would, their viewpoint on things. And transformation for me, if I can explain it, is like when we let go, we can start to transform. When we expect, A and B to come before C in the alphabet, yet Z or D comes before A, and we don't fight it and get all up in a tizzy over it and get frustrated and lose our cool, then we can start to transform. If we decide we want to sell our house, say, and maybe November. Okay, this November, I'm going to sell my home. By the way, I did put my house back on the market again. And it sells in March or April, and I'm like, and you know, you're sitting there thinking, well, wait a minute. You know, I expected my house to sell in November, and I do my affirmations, you know, my affirmations that we talked about in another show. And yet here it is March, you know, and you're sitting there thinking it has to sell in November. But guess what? You didn't know. There was gold somewhere in the basement, or something of value of your grandmother's, or there was some transforming event that occurred that you come March and your house sells. And if you had not had it wait till March, you would have never, ever known. So that's what I mean by transformation. We have a caller online too, and I have a funny feeling that this lady's name is Reverend Catherine from Alabama. How are you, Reverend Catherine? Well, it is so good to talk to you. Let's see if we can hear you. Talk for a moment, Reverend Catherine.
Hello.
Yes, we want to make sure we can hear you well. I haven't spoken to you since your last birthday last year. How are you doing over there in Alabama?
Well, I'm just fine, living day by day.
Well, I want to tell everyone, is it okay? You never tell anybody a person's age, but I know your age. Well, I think I know your age, but tell me, will you share with folks your age, or would you rather talk about something else? Because you have a profound life.
Well, I know my age, 101, but I want to talk about whatever you want to talk about.
Well, I want to talk about all the wisdom you have. I want to share with everyone that Reverend Catherine is one of the wisest women on this planet. She lives down in Alabama. And you taught me some science of the mind. You're a reverend of science of mind, right?
It's science of mind. Yes, I'm
science
of mind.
Yes, and I know Vicky must be there with you. Is Vicky there with you?
Yes, Vicky is my aunt.
Oh, okay. Yeah, two Vickies on the line. That's kind of interesting. But Reverend Catherine, I know that you taught me a whole lot about the mind and transformation. Can you share with us a little bit about what thoughts you have on transformation?
I don't know.
It's okay. Yeah, go ahead.
The word transformation, I don't really know what you mean about transformation. What we transfer from.
Well, you know, transformation is in changing your life from one stage of your life to another stage, and that's what I mean by transformation. What word do you use?
Well, I just know that we do change our thinking. Thinking is important. What we think is important.
Well, and you know, you taught me many years ago when we trained together that when we think proper thoughts and good thoughts and feel them within ourselves, it can be changing in our whole life. It can make our whole life better. Isn't that right?
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. We need to have positive thoughts, particularly good. Look for
right.
The good.
Well, do you also believe, Reverend Catherine, that when you have a positive thought, that you also have to have a good feeling about that too, don't you? Have you been?
Oh, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
In other words, have to feel it too. You have to feel it. Mm-hmm. Go ahead. Did you want to say something else, Reverend Catherine?
No, not important. Is this the main show, or do I need to call again?
Well, you can call anytime you want, Reverend Catherine. We would welcome you. It's a radio show, and we do the radio, and we have people all over the world that listen to the radio show, BBS Radio. And this show is called Living Your Soul's Journey. Because through my journey, Reverend Catherine, I have found that as long as we live our own soul's journey and don't live anybody else's and don't try to control anybody else's soul's journey, we tend to be happier people.
Yeah, I know. I feel like that we are very independent. We are our own expression of life.
Yes.
We do not... We are absolutely our own person.
Yes. And I want to tell you, go ahead, Reverend. Go ahead.
I didn't understand.
Go ahead. What didn't you understand? What did you not understand? Your own person. You're being your own person. That's beautiful. That I so agree with. Yes.
That's right. And we are independent of being ourselves.
That's right. And you know, sometimes, Reverend Catherine, and in today's world, these kids struggle with being authentic because the schools make them believe a certain way and churches make them believe a certain way. And sometimes they struggle to, as did I, even though I'm much older than my daughter, but to find our way, you know, it's to find our way. So,
yeah, it is important for us to find our way. I just, in my meditation today, I came up, you know, that we go, there was a word. The word was with God. And now I have found out that this word is love. God is love is with God, and God is love, and that makes us a love, a person of love. Then we are on positive side.
Yeah, well, you know, as long as you have love in your heart and really feel it, it can be transforming, can't it? It can transform a situation. It can transform a negative situation into a positive one, can't it?
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And I do feel like that God is love and everything is love if we understand our being as being one of love.
Yes. Yes. Well, I know that you have spent many, many years on this life, and you have taught many people about love just by your very presence, Reverend Catherine. I've never met you, but I feel like I know you because you worked with me, you know, years and years ago, and helped me to understand the science of the mind. And I was just reading about the mind and how powerful the mind is in our understanding of life and how important it is to be a guardian of our own thoughts.
It is important for us to understand God.
Mm-hmm. Well, what is God to you, Reverend Catherine? What is God to you?
Oh, He is the Father. He is the one that created the universe, and we need to know more about the universe and then about God, how God operates.
How do you recommend people find out more about the universe?
Well, it's the science of God that we say a science of mind. Mind, of course, is everything, but we do feel that we are studying science of the universe and the science of God.
Well, I sure wish you were up here. We would have a study group. We need science of mind up here in the North Georgia Mountains. But I'm not
Oh, yes.
Go ahead, Brother Catherine. Are you still there?
I didn't understand.
No, I said I wish we had a science of mind study group here in the North Georgia Mountains where I live.
That would be wonderful if you did.
Yes, I wish we did.
And you are Vicky.
Yes, I'm Vicky.
So we can get in touch with you and help you get a Sacramento started on the mountain.
Well, I will call you personally about that, because we are in a situation up here where we really don't have any fellowship, because we are just away from everybody. But there are people that would love to be a part of a group. And I know that that would be wonderful to have a Science of Mind group up here. I would welcome it at any time. So I will certainly chat with you, because North Georgia Mountains is pretty, traditional.
So we have
yes?
We have a wonderful group on the mountains in Alabama.
Ah, okay. Oh, that's neat. I'm not hearing you real well right now, Reverend Catherine, so you're going to have to speak up so we can hear you real good, because you have such wisdoms to share. So can you speak up a little bit so we can hear you better?
Well, I thought I was speaking as well as I could in this telephone.
I know. It's just that sometimes it you have to speak up on the radio. Now, do you still speak at the Science of Mind Church in Alabama?
No, now I am retired, but I do help the group that meets twice a year on the mountain.
Oh, that's wonderful. That's wonderful. Well, what words of wisdom do you have to share with everyone this evening? What would you like to share everyone about the most about love and God? What else would you like to share?
Well, now right now, I just think that this is a wonderful world that we live in, with a lovely Father.
Well, let me just say that, yes, and I'm hearing you, that when we have all these negative things to happen in life, we have to take that and turn it around and find we have to almost love the situation as to keep it from getting into drama, correct? Isn't that how you feel, or give us your thoughts on that?
Well, we want to see the good and praise it. And we look for the good.
Good.
Better life.
So in other words, start with yourself is what I'm hearing you say. Start with yourself. Don't worry about everybody else. Start with yourself. And from there, it will transform.
Now, we have to be conscious of the other fellow. But as long as we have good thoughts about ourselves, we will have good thoughts about others.
Well, that's what I mean, though. That's what I'm saying. In other words, if we love ourselves and we respect ourselves and we honor ourselves, then we will have more of the ability to love, honor, and respect our other fellow man.
Yeah, that is true. But think about it now, it's very difficult for me to hear you.
Sometimes it is hard. Sometimes the connection can be kind of bad, but we'll get through it. But if you can call back, if you can't hear me, you can call back, okay? And we'll talk another time, okay?
That would be fine.
All right. Well, thank you so much, Reverend Catherine, for calling in. You be blessed. I love you.
I have been, and thank you a lot.
All right.
Bye.
Well, I just want to share with everyone, what a pleasure to hear from Reverend Catherine. About 10, 12 years ago, I started doing the Science of Mind study with her. I never became an ordained minister through Science of Mind. I'm through the Church of Wisdom. And Reverend Catherine worked with me for months and months and taught me how powerful the mind is and how important it is for us to be a guardian of our minds. And it was very interesting how this conversation began, because tonight before I began the show, I went to, as a Voyager, certified Voyager reader, I asked Spirit to show me a card, and I got the Guardian, which is the woman of crystals, and the crystals represent the mind. And you know, my message to everyone this evening is the mind is our connection. The mind is the universe. The mind is a part of everything, everyone. So that is why when you think about somebody, sometimes they will immediately a call. And thinking of somebody, I have Sandy on line one. How are you, Sandy?
I'm doing fine. I listened to Reverend Catherine, and I happen to love her very much. She has saved so many lives, literally, and encouraged and inspired so many people in her 101 years that she's been upon this earth. And I would like to introduce her book. Introducing her book tells a little bit more about her, and it's just a few paragraphs, if I might read it, because I might sure. leave something out if I don't. Is that okay?
Sure. I'd love that.
Okay. This is the foreword, like I said, for her book. It's called An Awakening Whenever You Are Ready. Yes, miracles do still happen today. They occur as surely as the divine being known as Jesus the Christ walked the dusty roads of Damascus over 2,000 years ago. They happen as surely as spiritual rebirth can burst forth in a nanosecond or can take a lifetime to develop. And yes, as certainly as everything visible was first imagined from that which is invisible before manifesting in the physical, miracles still happen today. An awakening to spirit always leads to the rebirth of a richer life. Scattered throughout the pages of An Awakening, the sage, spiritually enlightened teacher, Reverend Catherine K. Crowley, has provided markers pointing the way to reveal, to reveal the power of the divine mind and how to allow it to express through you. Crowley artfully explains how our thoughts and words are like the seeds a farmer plants in the soil, and through them, we can choose to create what we desire, or we can unwittingly pull in what we don't want. Our thoughts, followed by our words and actions, activate the power to manifest either heaven or hell. By every word you speak, you are either building your world up or tearing it down. By your words, you will be justified, and by your words, you will be condemned. And this is according to Matthew 12:37. Are our thoughts so potent that we're capable of communicating with plants and insects through them? I think so. And an awakening demonstrates this, and also the fact that there truly is a power greater than we are, and we can learn how to direct it. So shall my word be that goeth forth from my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I pleased, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. That's Isaiah 55:11. An awakening is a high-powered lesson on learning to live, think, and act, not as material personalities, but as spiritual beings. As a child of God, we learn to uncover hidden power, an incredible lesson on how to regain the lost word and incorporate the responsibility of using it wisely in our daily lives is seamlessly taught here. It does not matter who we are, what we do, how beautiful we look, or how much money we have. What truly matters is our knowledge of the laws of nature, for it is the understanding of the forces of nature that will inevitably liberate us from the unhealthy habits that keep us in the cycles of negative patterns. And that last paragraph, Joseph Michael wrote it. But anyway, I just wanted to share that about An Awakening Whenever You're Ready. It's a wonderful little book that Reverend Catherine wrote. And
how do you order it, Sandy? How do you order it?
You can order it on the net. I didn't realize I was going to be introducing her book. I thought she would, but I'm sure you can find an awakening where whenever you are ready by looking on the net, and it is by the Reverend Catherine, and Catherine is with a K, Catherine K. Crowley, C-R-O-L-E-Y. I'm sure you can find it just by doing a search.
Well, I'll make sure that by next week I'll check it out so that I can share with everyone how people can order. What a great title, Awakening When You're Ready, because, you know, that goes right into living your soul's journey. We have to be ready for our next step, and there's always a divine guidance to that. And that's just very powerful. Thank you so much for sharing it. I was so honored to have Reverend Catherine call, and I never share someone's age unless they ask me to, but I know that she's over 100. So, I mean, that's profound to be.
She's 101, and she wow. is as sharp as a tack. I told her she needs to get one of the telephones that is specifically for people who are a little hard of hearing. Because she did a wonderful job, but she is as sharp as a tack, and she needs to be able to hear what's being said in order to really show her true inspirational capacity, which she's
yeah.
just,
well, that you know, and I was just one. I have to tell you, if I were on a regular phone right now, I wouldn't even be able to do the show. I have to have earphones and be plugged into the internet and. You know, because for me personally, a phone, I would not be able to I have to have my hands free and very focused. And I can't hear well on a phone either. That's not just with the radio show, but with anybody. I do better with hands off. I don't know, with those little, the blue Bluetooth. I do much better with that than just having a phone up against the ear. Yes. So, well, that's awesome. Well, how are you this evening, Sandy?
I'm doing fine. Just doing wonderful. I'm, as you know, taking classes so that I can better chase a dream that I've just now decided to chase, and I'm just. Very, very excited about the possibilities and proud of myself for getting out there trying.
Well, I don't think you have to chase it. I think they're going to be chasing you. I think they're going to be looking for you once you get to where you're ready to share yourself. I think it's going to be very powerful. I've been chased enough by the wrong people.
The right kind are chasing me now.
That's right. So. That is so true. Well, I want to ask you something about transformation, because what is your definition of transformation, and how do you find your means of transforming your life?
Well, I'm going to get back just a minute to Reverend Catherine, who actually helped me start my transformation, start turning into the kind of person that I want to be more fully, which is always coming from love and kindness toward others. But transformation to me really started on the day that I sat before Reverend Catherine K. Crowley, who is my mentor, in Alabama. She was in her young 90s at the time. And as I sat across from her, my world was literally, it felt as if it was crumbling. And I felt very sorry for myself. Everything that could have possibly gone wrong without me being killed or being homeless had happened to me. And I was crying, and I was telling her everything that everybody had done to me that wasn't fair, and everything that everybody had said about me that wasn't true. And I was just crying and bellyaching, really, for about 20 minutes. And here she was, my mentor, somebody I looked up to more than anybody else. And I was friends with you. I looked up to you, too, and you've helped me a lot, too. I have to insert that. But all of a sudden, after listening to me cry and be just a big blubbering crybaby for about 20 minutes, she said, "Shut up." It was the best advice I ever got. I was shocked. It hurt my feelings so bad at first. And I says, "What do you mean?" And she said something along the lines of,
it's not any of your business what other people do and how they act, and you're giving them your power by letting them upset you. It's your business how you react and how you behave yourself. You can't control other people, so shut up.
I love that.
That started the transformation, because it did help me realize if I get angry with somebody else, if somebody else hurts my feelings, it's because I need to go back and I need to look in the mirror. I'm taking things personally. And if we allow the way other people feel about us, and if we allow the way other people act toward us to destroy our happiness, to upset us, to live for their words and their temporary ugliness and fog to live rent-free in our head, we have to realize we're responsible for that because we create our own emotions. And I'm working on myself. Mercy, I've got a long way to go. But that was the beginning of my transformation. That was the beginning. And that's what transformation means to me, is instead of always blaming other people for how you feel, to look in the mirror and be willing to change what's wrong with you. Because the truth is, if we didn't have something that we needed to change about ourselves, some lesson that we needed to learn, we wouldn't still be getting upset by other people's fog and their pain or whatever they're going through.
Well, that's so true. And, you know, it's not really that we have anything wrong with ourselves. It was interesting because what lessons we have are just they're just lessons. And, you know, your lesson could be very different than my lesson. And yet, you know, it's still something that we have to go through. I mean, I had a profound day to day after falling off the steps, you know, in the early morning, because I realized, you know, I mean, I had to go through, gosh, I took out Louise Hayes, You Can Heal Your Life. I did my own meditations on it. I had to work today doing some real estate closings. But, you know, I just thought, wow, what a blessing that this happened, that I didn't really get hurt, because it was all on the right side, which has to do with a man. And it also has to do with letting go of the house. And so, you know, because of some of the training that I went through, I was able to start mending all of that together and make sense out of it. I'm still not done with it. I mean, heaven forbid, I'm still not done learning the lesson. But it was amazing, because it was like, oh, wow. Of course, now when I go down, I mean, I make sure that I hold on to the rail, because I was just like, you know, in the mornings when you're half asleep and the dogs want to go out, I was just racing down the steps, but I didn't hold on. It was meant to be, you know, I guess. But, you know, you can heal without having things like that happen. But that's really cool. Well, I'm so glad that we got Reverend Catherine on the phone, and I do hope everyone will order her book. I'll look forward to reading it, because I have to say that the Science of Mind, the training that I went to through with her on the phone, was fabulous. And I just sure wish that I could start a Science of Mind up here in the North Georgia Mountains. Maybe that's how she can use her wisdom up here too, because that would be fabulous to have that up here. We don't have any study groups up here except, you know, way, way north. We have the Unity Study Group, the Unity Church, but we have no Science of Mind. And I've looked and looked. It's the closest one is in Atlanta. So,
well, I have learned to take truth and inspiration and love where I can get it, not from any one certain religion. And the Science of Mind by Ernest Holmes.
Yes.
And through Reverend Catherine, too, has taught me a lot. I've met a lot of wonderful people there. I've met a lot of wonderful people. This is on the opposite side of the coin altogether, if it's even on the same coin. But the Pentecostal church, devout Christians, I'm thinking in one little church in particular, they don't stand in judgment. They always come from love. It's New Hope Pentecostal church in Colburg, Alabama. I've witnessed a lot of miracles happen there. And I'll tell you two real quick. One is huge. There's a half Cherokee woman that goes there, and her son died, and she absolutely, just having that Pentecostal training and the belief in the Holy Spirit and belief in the power of her word, she would not leave her son. She kept praying and literally screaming the way they worship and the way they sometimes pray. And they were ready to take her to a psych ward. And I want you to know, her son took a deep breath, and he's alive today. That's been decades ago. The other little quick miracle is me being silly, okay? It's before I liked to go there, and I'm admitting this, for entertainment value at first, okay? And I would literally almost, I'd have to fight back giggling at them. But I tell you, I soon, when I saw the miracles that happened there, I quit doing that. But this is before I really saw them for the love and the faith and the wonderfulness that they are and that they have. I went down there when there was an altar call. I just didn't feel good, and I thought, well, what the heck, I'll go back there and I'll fall back and I'll play the game. You know, there'll be somebody there to catch me. And I want you to know that when I got up there and I did fall back,
yes,
I lost control of it. Not only did I lose control of it, but this is the truth. This still shocks me. There was nobody back there to catch me, and there's like mahogany hard benches. I hit the corner of one, which it should have knocked me out, put me in a coma, maybe killed me. And I came to with a tingling feeling all over my body. My head wasn't even hurt. I didn't even hardly feel it hit. It was a thunk, a thunk sound. There was not a knot. There was no soreness. It was almost like I fell through the bench. And all I could do, people could not believe that. All I could do was run around holding my head. Did you see that? I fell back and nobody was back there to catch me. I don't even have a knot on my head. But anyway, I didn't mean to go on and on, Vicki, but I'm just saying you can, I wish you did have the group there, there's truth and love from everywhere.
Sandy, why did you fall back?
I'm sorry.
Why did you fall back? I'm missing something.
I thought that there was somebody back there to catch me, and I'm playful, and I was still kind of going there for entertainment. A part of me was still going there for entertainment purposes, and I just thought it would be cool. I'm just like an old person in a little girl suit. I'm just playful.
That's a good comedy routine to talk about, because that's funny. Well, I do have to share that. That reminds me, because one time my daughter was taking it's not really funny, but my daughter was taking horseback riding, and the man forgot to put her helmet on. Okay, so I'm kind of busy, not really paying attention, but yet looking and not realizing that she doesn't have a helmet on. I mean, that's just a given. Uh-huh. You just put your helmet on. That's part of a lesson. And the next thing I know, I'm turning around to see her, and she had just fallen. And I was running out there. But do you know that there was this, I can still see it. It was like a feathering of a team of angel wings that kept her head from touching the ground. So it was sort of like the same thing. Yeah, you probably had a team of angels. And by the way, I wish everyone could see a photo, a selfie. They call them selfies. Miss Sandy had a photo today after meditation, and I just share with you how that can help, even with what Reverend Catherine was saying about how do you know the universe? How do you know God? And that was one of the questions I had for Reverend Catherine. And one of the ways is she was talking about is to get to know God through meditation. And you were meditating today, and you sent a selfie out. And for those that understand chakras, and if you don't, I'll write me a letter and I'll do a show on it. But Miss Sandy had a complete opening of her chakra. Her crown chakra was completely open all the way. Well, all of her chakras were open, but there was a beaming light coming you know, shining in from spirit into the crown. The crown chakra was completely brilliantly white, and it had this beautiful, beautiful flowing into the third eye. It was absolutely breathtaking. That was such an incredible photo. That was, and it just goes to show y'all that if you do meditate, that is how you do get to know yourself. That is how you get transformations. That is how life changes and how you start to bring in the goodness of life, the joy of life, the happiness of life, and your own soul's journey by meditating. Because that was proof right there, Sandy, that when you meditate, you open up your chakras and you allow that divine guidance and love and energy into your being, not just your physical being, but your etheric being and your all your bodies, your whole self. It was a quite stunning picture. So that's something.
Thank you. I had asked, and by the way, I'll repeat this. Just because somebody doesn't believe exactly the way you believe, it doesn't mean they don't have truth. The divine creator knows our hearts. And as long as you come from love and you treat others literally the way you would want to be treated and are kind, that is what God, Goddess, whatever, the Holy Spirit, whatever you want to call the divine, that's the way they would have us to do. And I prayed that the divine love of God would shine through me, round about me, from the inside out, from the outside in. And I'm always asking for signs, and I've been told as a child you're not supposed to do that. But for some reason, right after meditating, I took that selfie, and it's what I was doing is I was shining. Literally.
Yes.
And it was,
yes.
It amazed me. It amazed me. It not because I'm anything special, but we're all something special. We can all do something
special.
That nobody
you're
else can do.
Special.
We just have to reach for the divine and reach for the light and be the light, literally.
Well, let me ask you, because you said something, and I don't want to let it go by, is I look for signs all the time. So I don't know, you know, I know that you were probably trained that way, but it's okay. I feel very strongly that it's okay to ask for a sign. If you're asking for a sign for something, spirit will show you. I mean, I asked months ago to show me a sign, and I threw feathers, and I even when I went to Seattle, I saw feathers everywhere. And by the way, thinking of signs, I want to share something and stay on the line because you may have some beautiful comments on this. My daughter and I went to Colorado, and talk about a sign of spirit. We had the opportunity to walk with a wolf. His name was Wakanda, and he was an Arctic.
Oh, he's beautiful.
Oh my goodness. He was an Arctic mix wolf that had been rescued from someplace. I don't know the details. I was so in awed by his beauty and his warmth and his love, but yet he was a wolf. You know, it's like he was still a wild animal. So I just want to share this because we have enough time to share this. But talk about transformation. It did something to my daughter as well. We were told that to meet Wakanda, that we would have to kneel down and we would have to keep our hands out. And that if he accepted us, he would come over, walk up to us. We never walked to him. He would walk up to us and he would slobber us on the face, lick our body, do something. You know, he would show some sign of, I accept you. So he came up to me first because I was just kind of really in his direct path. And I had my hands out and I was kneeling down. And he came over and looked me in the face, just looked at me, you know, maybe a second or two. He looked into my soul. He looked into my soul and he licked my face.
Oh, man.
I mean, you know, you have no idea what that does to you when a wolf, a wild wolf, is accepting of you. And then he went over to my daughter and licked her arm. She had clothes on, of course, because she, you know, it was cold. And so she had, it wasn't her arm itself, it was her clothes. And then I don't know at that moment exactly what he did, but he looked at her, and then he kind of guided us to the path where he wanted to go.
Oh,
and,
my goodness.
Well, I mean, you know, it's so simple. But I think the thing that affected me so profoundly is that most people, if a wolf came close to you, even though they're on a walking, you know, they're on a leash, you know, they're, uh-huh. it's most people would get screaming and try to, you know, do something. But one of the things they said to us in nature is if you uh-huh. ever see a wild animal, kneel down, put your hands out, kneel down. Uh-huh. Don't uh-huh. run. Don't, you know, get fierce with them. But they know then that you're not there to harm them uh-huh. and stay away from their food and, you know, stay away from making them feel, because you're in their territory. I mean, we may be humans. Oh, yeah. We may be humans, but when we're in the wild, if we're going to go to Africa or if we're going to go to Alaska, that's kind of their territory, you know, that out yeah. there. And if they come into our home, then they're a guest of our home. But when we yeah. go out into their territory, we are a guest of them. And it was like very much like swimming with the dolphins in the Bahamas. We were taught when we went there that the dolphin had to come to us. We did not chase the dolphin. We did not run after the dolphin or swim after the dolphin, but we sat there and we waited for the dolphin to come to us. And then the dolphins would come and they would swim, you know, around us and look at us. And it was, you know, it's just, I get so affected by that personally. I know I'm a Pisces and I'm a water sign and, you know, I've got a lot of water in me, but the thing about it is that nature is, you know, I don't think, and love your thoughts on this as soon as if I'm quiet enough to get them in. But I don't think that we were meant to be
on
this
planet. I love listening to you.
Well, I mean, to be on this planet to destroy. I mean, I understand people have to eat, and I understand that. I'm not talking about yeah. that. But yeah. for instance, we were at this hotel, and before that we had gotten there on the way to see Wakanda that morning, yeah, I think it was Sunday morning a week ago, Wakanda, we were on our way. It was in Divide, Colorado, and we saw this herd of elk, wild herd of elk, and it was the wow. most profoundly beautiful. I mean, there were cars stopped on the road. It was so beautiful. And so that night, yeah. I was going into the hotel, my daughter and I, and we saw these hunters with three or four of them with these big rifles, and I said, oh, what were you hunting? And he said, elk. And I said, oh. And then I sent this big message to the elk, get away. You know, I sent a message to them. But anyway, give me your thoughts on nature. And, you know, this child, it affected my daughter so profoundly that she's always wanted to work with the wolves. But I have a feeling she's going to actually be a wolf whisperer. I really do.
Well, I might have said this on your show, and I think I said this to you before, but what comes to my mind is back when I was much younger, one of my many, 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 many boyfriends, to me, men, or I shouldn't say this, but I started to, so I'm going to blurt it out anyway. Men were like box of chocolates to be sampled till you get to the right one. Yum, yum. Anyway, that's beside the point. Okay, now back to being appropriate. Anyway, one of my old boyfriends took me squirrel hunting, and made the mistake of taking me squirrel hunting. Every time he got one in his sights, I would scream, run, squirrel, run. And, of course, he didn't kill a squirrel. He didn't get to kill a squirrel, which we were invited to his mother's, which they lived way out in the country in Alabama. And one of the things that she was making for supper was supposed to be squirrel and dumplings. Needless to say, she did not get to make squirrel and dumplings. But I'm a little bit confused about about eating meat right now.
Uh-huh.
I'm almost totally a vegetarian. I seldom eat anything except fish as far as that goes, because of the fact that I just have such a love for animals. And I feel sorry for them, and I've gotten where I can't even fish anymore, because if it's swimming and it's free, to me It wants to stay in its home. It doesn't want to be snatched out, and sometimes it feels like eating death. I think
suffer
that it
a lot,
should be
Sandy,
sparingly if you do it. They suffer, and the what you buy in the grocery store, I mean, most of the time, the conditions are horrendous.
Yes, that's the whole point. Yeah,
I know. If I ate meat at all, and I'm not a teetotaler yet, I might turn into one. But if I ate meat at all, it would have to be minimally, knowing that while it was alive, it wasn't kept in a filthy, close, torturous environment to where it couldn't even move.
The blessing of it. Now, you know, if you bless something, I bless the lettuce I eat. But, you know, it's allegedly, now there's a lot of different viewpoints. It's a good show to have on, to have some two different viewpoints. But people that do eat meat say, well, you know, it's already dead. But you know, I think you just said it. It's the conditions in which these animals are being killed. And, you know,
and
it's
eating
their
death. And I believe it should be eaten sparingly at the very least, and people don't have any feelings for animals that they kill for the most part, no feelings at all. And I don't even like
maybe,
to talk about
maybe.
Things like this, but a quick example would be my oldest daughter told me about a neighbor of theirs selling a goat. And the people who bought the goat to slaughter it, you know, the goat was just crying, and they just slung it into their trunk. And that's mean. That animals have feelings.
But you have to understand,
you know?
When you're eating that kind of meat, at that point, you're eating suffering. You're eating
you're eating death,
suffering.
And you're eating suffering, and you're eating fear.
And that is, you know what, I hope one day, and this is a request of spirit, is that one day animals will be able to talk. And wouldn't that be interesting if they could, all of a sudden you go to hurt something like that and they speak to you? Because I think that is why animals get hurt so bad, is because nobody can feel them. They've shut off their own feelings, you know, those that kill.
Yeah.
And they've shut off their own feelings. And so they can't, you know, it's like my puppy, you know, I know what she's feeling. I know because I feel her.
Yeah.
I'm connected. And I think it's the same with I'm a vegetarian, and when people come over to my house, like for Thanksgiving, they're not going to have turkey. They're going to have my vegetables. And if they don't want to come over, you know, it's just family at this point anyway. But you know, if they don't want to have that, then that's fine. You know, I have wild turkey right out here in my yard, you know, in my area. So we see wild turkey all the time. And
God have mercy upon anybody who tries to kill any of your turkeys, if I know you.
Well,
if they're on your land, they're you're like me. If they're on your land, they're under your protection.
Well, but there's sacred ground up here. Nobody can shoot anything. You know, it would be against the law, although nobody would probably do anything. But I do want to thank everyone, especially you, Miss Sandy, and Reverend Catherine, for being on the show tonight. And it's just such a blessing to talk to both of y'all, because you always have such wise words. And you're very much a blessing to me, because I'm sitting here in bed with a heating pad on my neck and my back. And
oh, bless your heart.
I'll get to the doctor tomorrow. So it's been a blessing to have y'all on. I do want to remind everyone that I will be back next Sunday, 4 o'clock Pacific, 7 o'clock Eastern. And I have a author of interesting books. You can look her up this week. Her name is Betsy Thompson. And I will be putting some information about her on BBS as my upcoming guest. So you can certainly look forward to that next Sunday. And she'll be answering questions of I always connect things with how to live your soul's journey the best way that you can. And if you're an author or something like that, then, you know, we incorporate it into that, because that's what the show's about. So I send blessings to everyone. Reverend Catherine, if you're still listening, and Vicki, I think that's her aunt, her daughter. Who was that?
That is her niece.
Oh, her niece.
Her lovely niece. Uh-huh.
Lovely niece named Vicki. Great name. And I want to thank you all for tuning in. And Miss Sandy, I hope you're enjoying your acting classes. I know
I
that
am.
They're enjoying you, I'm sure. So
sometimes.
Well, listen, y'all be blessed this week. And I just want to say a special prayer out there for Coco, because Coco left the planet unexpectedly this week. And he just comes to me and says he's at peace right now. And there's more to come to share about Coco, but that was our producer's dog. And I just felt him, just came to me, and he said he was at peace.
Mr. Producer. Bless you.
Doug. Yeah. So, but I thank you all so much for being here this evening, and be blessed and have a beautiful, beautiful week, and know that you are enough, and know that love will carry you through. Good night.